Blog Talk Radio.
Coach Adams, what exactly do you mean about that? Well, let's grow together with our in-studio experts and go on a journey of discovery and explore this very question. Welcome to Motivational Mondays with yours truly, Coach Adams, presented by Inspired Media for you. It's time to receive your weekly infusion of motivation and empowerment to jumpstart your week. I am your host, Shania Marie Adams, affectionately known as Coach Adams, master motivator and your resident empowerment coach. I coach and you win. Our focus on Motivational Mondays is to equip and empower you in the process of closing life gaps from where you are to where you desire to grow. You see, each week we come together to engage on life's highway. We're on a divine journey in which I truly believe God is the light illuminating our path, guiding and directing each and every step along the way. We sincerely value your participation, our global listening audience, and we genuinely appreciate you for tuning in to this time of empowerment coined as Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, hashtag I'm for you. We don't take your time lightly or for granted, but rather we are eternally grateful to have this opportunity to sow into your lives on your journey of purpose to fulfill your destiny. Here on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, our programming is designed based on two formats of empowerment that we bring you each and every week. We have the blending of our in-studio guests sharing their testimonies and or their areas of expertise and our Shape Up series. Our Shape Up series is designed to support you on your journey to win personally and professionally so that you may be more equipped to work it now. You may be thinking, Coach Adams, what am I working? Well, you're asking some great questions on a Motivational Monday, and I'm feeling the vibrations. Simply put, you're working your vision so you can achieve your goals and ultimately live out your dreams. Each of Motivational Mondays is rich and insightful. We encourage you, our global listening audience, to take advantage of our on-demand library. If you have missed any of our past show installments, archives of previous broadcasts, and the richness of what is shared each week are always available for your convenience online at www.blogtalkradio.com/inspiredmedia for you. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/inspiredmedia, the number 4 and the letter U. Our on-demand library is filled with rich insight on various subjects to equip and empower you on your journey known as life. In our last installment, we looked at and, oh, it was so powerful. 2 weeks ago, we did the millionaire mindset. Oh, it was rich. Oh, my gosh, it was rich. And last week, we dug into another phase, and we keep kind of looking through the kaleidoscope, giving you rich gems and nuggets so that you can be empowered on your journey. And tonight is no exception. However, allow me to set up the framework of today's broadcast. I will share with you with our all-star in-studio guests for about 40 minutes into today's programming around today's subject. And then we will open our lines up for your audience participation, at which time we welcome your questions and your comments around today's subject. This, of course, always lends to a more interactive environment, which we absolutely love. And so we encourage you, our global listening audience, to chime right on in at the appropriate time. If you don't already have your notepads, your pens, pencils, laptops, desktops, your iPads, your tablets, your phone with your notes, your smartphone, whatever you need to capture the richness, I encourage you to grab it so that you can really process the rich gems and nuggets that will be shared by our all-star in-studio guests. On today's installment of Motivational Mondays with yours truly, Master Motivator, it's time to shape up and win, and we are in our Money Matters series. Oh, how I love Mondays! But before we jump into today's topic, we ask that you take a quick moment to invite someone to share in today's broadcast with you. Allow those cute little social media juices to begin to flow right on someone's Facebook wall. Send a tweet, a text, a DM, go old school, send an email, a message in a bottle, a carrier pigeon. Woo! Bottom line, I think you get it. Do whatever you need to do to invite someone to join you for today's broadcast. We extend our gracious, heartfelt thanks in advance for your support with expanding our outreach. On today's installment of Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams, today is our Money Matters Shape Up series, and I'm so excited about it. And as it so turns out, the focus of today's show is in honor of Life Insurance Awareness Month. And the question raised that we're going to process around is, are you secure? Again, are you secure? And you may be thinking, well, Coach Adams, what does this have to do with me working my vision, achieving my goals, and living my dreams? Well, our in-studio expert is going to help to bridge that gap and share with you the importance of why you need to be secure. Now, this man is no, I was about to say young man, but he is. He's young at heart. This young man is no, he is not he's not new to Motivational Mondays. I was losing my thought there for a moment. He's not new to Motivational Mondays. He is our expert that has been sharing with us in our Money Matters series every other month through this year of 2021. And when I tell you that Tony Jackson, the Real Money Coach, has given us some richness, woo, my goodness, over this series, I mean, we have talked about some great subjects, and if you've missed any of the past show installments, you want to go back to our archive library, our on-demand library, and you want to kind of take in and soak in that richness. But without further ado, I'm going to bring in the Real Money Coach, Mr. Drumroll Tree from the virtual boardroom, Tony Jackson, and the crowd goes wild.
Coach Adams, Coach Adams, Coach Adams, My goodness. You are a firecracker. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. I'm so excited. You get me so pumped up. Your energy is infectious. And Coach Adams, the real Coach Adams, listen, I have been enriched this last year or so to get to know you and be a part of this Money Matters series. What a vision. What a vision. And thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be a small part of this. And your audience is just so blessed to have you each and every week. I'm thinking about money mindset, millionaire mindset. Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome.
It really is. And Tony, you know, I am so great that you made the decision to partner with us in this year of 2021 to bring forth this rich series, Money Matters. It has been truly eye-opening, and your expertise spans back. I don't want to do a disservice to you. What is it, 20-ish years, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, we're hitting on 24 years. 24 years, August 1st was 24 years for me in financial services. And so the time has gone by fast, 24 years. And so just blessed to have worked with so many wonderful people over that time frame. And Coach Adams, I've cheered him across the graduation to retirement, and I've cried at the funeral home, and, you know, in everything in between. And so it's been a very rich experience for me, and God has done marvelous things in my own life in the process, and I'm just full. I'm just really full and grateful.
And, you know, I hear that every time we come together, Tony, I hear that not only do I hear the fullness and your genuine heart of gratitude to really be that catalyst of supporting families for 24 years now in their financial health, as one would say, and really helping to guide them on their journey with the various resources and tools that you have available. And, you know, I wanted our audience to be reminded, for those that may be listening in for the first time, those that are listening in that have been really embracing this series, to be reminded of truly how much of an expert you are in this area. And, you know, Tony, playing Coach Adams' sandbox, you know, one of the things that I love to do is I like to ask my guests, if you were to say who Tony Jackson was beyond what we've already just discussed, who would you say he is?
I love that question. And you know, I reflect on it each time you ask me that. And, you know, who I am, first of all, is just a child of the Most High, you know, a child of God, a lover of Jesus, a man called to preach in ministry. And then, you know, as a family man, you know, I've been in love with the same woman for 29 years. We've been married and celebrated 29 years. You know, a father and a grandfather. I mean, that's who I am. I mean, that's the important things when it's all said and done. Those are the things that are most important and dear to me. And, you know, I just try to be the best husband, father, son, brother, cousin that I can be. So just being a better version of myself is my ultimate goal every day.
I love that. And, you know, an off subject, we'll have to have you come back potentially and do a relationship series on how are you making 29 years with the statistics. But we won't go there in this moment. But I'm telling you, I know you have some richness to share, but that really speaks to
who you are as an individual. It really does. You know, this subject of are you secure is so key, and I know you agree with me. And, you know, every time I hear of someone transitioning and I then see the GoFundMe account to raise the funds that are needed for the burial, cremation services, whatever that looks like, my heart aches. And my heart aches because that says that they were not secure. For whatever reason, it's not a judgment. I know that I've had my difficulties along the way, and so there's seasons when I was not secure. And so I get it. And again, there's no judgment, but my heart aches. I know what that's like, what it feels like. Tony, is there a particular story or situation that you can share with us and our audience that you've experienced personally around this topic of being secure, but yet at a time when the security wasn't there? Have you ever experienced that?
You know, absolutely I have. And one, you know, even in my own life, what really got me really interested in learning about life insurance and finances is just my own experience. And I have another story I'd like to share with you, but just from a personal standpoint, when I was 27 years old when my mother passed, and what's interesting is, you know, we're sitting at the funeral home, and I was working for a major insurance company at a time in their accounting department, and you know, and my mom passed, and we're sitting there and we're making those arrangements, right? And the funeral director, who happens to be named Mr. Toombs, no, that's true. Mr. Toombs tells my family that the 6 life insurance policies that my mom had, none of them are going to pay. And, you know, just the shock of that. And
that
my uncle was there.
That's a wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really wow. And I was just out of college, had a good job. Lisa and I were married. We were expecting our daughter, Adrian, and my uncle's there, and he and I are more like brothers, you know. And, you know, we make eye contact, right? And so I tell my dad, don't worry about it. Don't worry about the funeral. I'll pay for it. And I can remember my dad looking at him and tears filling up in his glasses and draining down his face. And he says to me, no, you won't. He says, that is my wife. I would mortgage my house before I would let you pay for your own mother's funeral. Mm. And that was the thing that woke me up in this space in terms of, you know, if my family was going through this, and we thought we were secure. We thought we were secure, Coach Adams, because my mom had those 6 policies. And if my mom and my dad thought they were secure and they thought they had it all together, how many more families out there were just like us? And that's when my career shifted, because I always thought I'd have an accounting firm and do bookkeeping and all those type of things because I love numbers. And that's what shifted me to go into financial services, is because I wanted to make a difference in families' lives so they wouldn't sit there and go through the same things that we were going through at that moment.
And, you know, make a difference is truly what you're doing. And when I tell you, Tony, I can so relate, and some may be listening in saying, well, Coach Adams, why is this important to me, you know, as it relates to working my vision, achieving my goals, and living my dreams? And I want to say this to those that are listening in, that there is a bridge of connection. because when you lose a loved one, you're dealing with the heightened emotion, you know, this ball of tangled emotions. And if you're not secure, if you have not had that security put in place, that can completely derail everything. Like you were sharing, you know, you thought that your mom was covered with the policies that she had. The coverage, for whatever reasons, wasn't there. And so now the family is having to pull money to do what they need to do at a very crucial and difficult time. And, you know, I personally, I've been on both sides. And so I can totally relate and I understand. I know being on the opposite side of what you're just talking about in this moment, the peace that I had, I remember my grandmother, ooh, she had it all together down to the point of she picked out the color of her casket. She had done her program. When I say my grandmother wanted to make sure that none of us went through a time of stressing out during this difficult time, she had everything in place, and she had everything in place for my grandfather. So there is a peace that occurs, and you can allow yourself to go through that grieving process, and it doesn't derail your visions, your goals, and your dreams, pulling resources from other areas because one has not properly prepared. And so with that, and thank you for sharing your personal story, Tony, and being so transparent, you know, help our audience to really understand why is life insurance so important? Why is it important?
Yeah, Coach Adelson, what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, I want to fast forward 25 years. That was in 1995. That was in 1995,
yes,
my mom
absolutely.
Passed.
Okay.
And and let's fast forward 25 years, and we're at 2020, right? So 2020, I'm at a conference. I'm doing a workshop with Dr. George Fraser, and we have a young lady. She signs up. She wants to meet. She wants to talk about the financial things we're talking about, including life insurance. And so I went to her home. I met with her in her kitchen. Her children was there. She wanted them to be a part of the conversation for learning purposes. She calls her husband, and I asked that question, are you secure? Are you covered? And she says, well, I have some coverage through my work. Well, her husband had no coverage. He had no coverage through his work. He had no coverage even through her job. And so our attention focused on him. We ended up writing a life insurance policy on him that night. And then I was going to come back in 2 weeks to write one on her, which he was approved. I brought the policy, brought it, gave it to them. He gave me the brother man hug and handshake. Thank you for taking care of this. I got to run. I got to take my son to the barbershop. So they do that. I stay behind, write a policy on his wife. And so, again, I'm with Dr. Fraser in Birmingham, Alabama. I remember it quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone is ringing. I'm presenting. So I you know, send it to voicemail. Rings again, send it to voicemail. So we finished the conference and, you know, you pack up, heading out. I'm checking my voicemail. Got a text message I didn't realize. And it was, her name was Janice. It was Janice. I called her. Her voice is shaking. And she tells me that her husband is dead.
Mm.
This was 6 weeks after we'd written that policy. They had made one payment.
Wow.
And it was a rainy morning. And this is why we need it, because we don't know the time nor hour. It was raining that morning. And she asked him, well, let me take you to work. And he said, no, I'll just catch the bus. So he catches the bus, the train, gets off of the bus to walk across the street to his job, and he gets hit by a car.
No.
And it throws him to the oncoming traffic, he gets hit by a second car.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then while laying in the road, he's ran over by a third car.
Wow.
And the first two cars didn't stop. They kept going.
Mm.
Only the third car stopped. And she was on my show last week, and she was the first time that she'd ever publicly talked about this incident. And she says that she got phone calls. She was at work. She got some phone calls. She didn't recognize the number. She didn't answer it. And then eventually the police officers come to her job, and they have all his belongings in a envelope, and they tell her that her husband had been killed that morning.
Mm-mm-mm.
And the thing about it is we did paid that full benefit, even though they only made one payment. We paid the full benefit for that policy. But the reason why life insurance is important is because we do not know what each day will bring us. And fortunately, what happened to Jenis and Carlton doesn't happen very often in our lives. But when it does, it can be very, very tragic. And that's why we do it. That's why we need it, is because the bottom line is, when it comes to life insurance, the most important part about it is the death benefit that it pays in case something happens and we don't make it home tonight.
You know, I love that you have shared that story, because that is such a wow. And it really speaks, like you said, we don't know the hour. We really don't. Yeah. And imagine, if you will, those that are listening in, if she wasn't secured, if they as a family were not secured, how this would have affected on so many different levels. But this security gave peace. And so I love that you shared a story that all of us can relate to. We never know. You know, in this past year, you mentioned that this happened in 2020. 2020 brought with it so much loss. And I'm sure many
yes.
were not prepared for the loss. And I thank you for sharing why life insurance is so important. It's just like car insurance. You know, like, it's so interesting. I was having a conversation, and this relates to what we're talking about, insurance, right? And so I was having a conversation with someone, and they said, hey, what kind of car insurance do you have? And I told them. And they said, is it good? And they said, I always see the commercials and so on and so forth and blah, 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 blah. And I said, I trust that it's good, but I hope I don't ever have to put it to the test.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
And they said, okay. You know, because we have the car, it's like we have car insurance, we're paying for it. The hope is that we never have to put it to the test. But if we need it, it's there for us. And the same is true for life insurance. It's there when we need it. Now, I would love to hear from you, Tony. You know, we talked about why life insurance is important, and I so appreciate you bringing this in a month that's so important, Life Insurance Awareness Month. You know, how much life insurance would you say individuals should have? What does that look like in utilizing the story? I don't want you to get into divulging what you can't, but, you know, how does one determine what's the right coverage for them?
Yeah, and it's always interesting, and as long as I've been doing this, that question comes up a lot. And Coach Adams, I often would joke and say, well, for me, I got to have enough life insurance so if something happens to me, my wife don't have to get another man, right? So she could be
self-sufficient. You a hot man. You a hot man.
Listen.
At some stage, I know you wanted to be happy afterwards. I know you wanted to prosper.
Right, 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 exactly. But in my my flesh, yeah, right.
Don't be stressed.
Right. But you know, honestly, you know, the amount of life insurance that we should have kind of varies, and it can shift throughout our life. You know, when you're when you have young children at home and those type of things, your needs could be greater if you're carrying a mortgage and those type of things. So the younger we are, you know, probably the more we actually need. And I actually use a little acronym for to determine how much life insurance someone should. And there's all kinds of tools and all different type of things. But I simply use the acronym LIFE. And the L stands for loans. So how much life insurance do you need to cover any outstanding loans that you might have? Mortgages, student loans, you know, credit card debt, those types of things. So how much life insurance do you need to cover the loans, your liabilities, your obligations that you have? And then the I is really for income replacement. And so, and that's really important whether you're on a fixed income or whether you are still in your working years, is if something happens to you, if there's someone who's depending on your income, how many years of that income do you need to supply for them to be comfortable? And so the I is for income replacement. And then the F is for really final expenses. And most of the time when we think final expenses, we're thinking about funeral costs and those type of things. But there could be other things. It could be other legal things, attorney fees for, you know, transferring property titles, and there's other estate settlement issues that could be involved. But obviously the funeral is the obvious one. And then the E is for the extras. So, you know, are there extra things? If something happens to me, do I want to set up an educational fund for my grandchildren now? Do I want to leave any type of gift to a charity, to my church, to a cause that is very important to me? So are there extras in there that I'd like to account for if God were to call me home today? And so that gives us our total life insurance need. Subtract out what you already have, right, because many of us have coverage already, or maybe we have coverage through the employer. We're not trying to overinsure anyone. So, you know, subtract out what you have currently, and then that leaves your unmet life insurance needs that we really should have to take care of things.
Wow, Tony, I love it. Every time you come, you drop some richness, because this acronym LIFE is so powerful. And for those that are regular listeners, you know Coach Adams is all about the acronym. Why? Because it gives you some
too.
I know. I love acronyms. And so I was sitting here and I was like, you go, Tony, you go. LIFE, I love it. Your loans, I, income replacement, F, final expenses, and E, extras. I love that. And so how would one, I understand each category, but how would one, for example, final expenses, how would they estimate that? Of course, income replacement speaks for itself. I trust that individuals know, you know, what their mortgages, their student loans, the liabilities that they have. And then, of course, extras, you know, one can estimate for that some level. But final expenses, you know, how would one even project what that looks like?
Yeah, well, generally, you know, nationwide, average funeral cost, if you're going to have a funeral, a full funeral in terms of, you know, normal burial and that type of thing, it's going to range you somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000 for a complete funeral cost. And then if you're doing cremation, you know, maybe planning up to about $5,000, depending on if you're going to have a memorial service and a viewing and then the cremation following that. And so at, you know, somewhere between $5,000 and $15,000, again, depending on what your wishes are there. In terms of if you are looking at an estate, for example, like you own, you know, quite a bit, usually they're saying about 3% of your total estate value could be the charges that you're looking at in terms of attorney fees and court fees and that type of thing. But much of that may really have to do with what type of estate planning you've done up front. So if you've already placed things inside of a trust and those type of things, so there's not a lot that needs to be done legally, then, you know, that could be on the lower end. But at the most, maybe 3% of your estate value. And, you know, it's interesting as we talk to estate planning attorneys and stuff, and we have this thing that we see in the movie about, you know, we're going to get together and we're going to have the reading of the will. In reality, you know, it doesn't really work that way. You know, in reality, that's great for selling tickets to the movies, but in reality, you know, you'll have an attorney that will get the will and then go ahead and make sure that everything's executed according to what your final wishes are.
I love it. And, you know, the reason why I kind of zoned in on the final expenses, of course, because you spoke about attorneys and so on and so forth, the standardized costs of final expenses, you know, like you said, we can kind of project that. Interestingly enough, my uncle passed away this year, earlier this year, and we found out that due to COVID, more people are actually doing cremations than ever before, because at one point it was cheaper. I don't know if it still is now because of the rise of it, but a lot more people are doing cremation. I know I have never thought about cremation, because you kind of do what you're accustomed to seeing happening in your family for years. And so what a great way to go to save on some of those final expenses. And so when you look at extras, let's talk a little bit about extras and, you know, this totality of life and determining the insurance that one should have. And what type of policy would you recommend? What kind of insurance would you recommend?
Yeah, and you know, Coach Adams, again, on the issue of cremation, and it's always a hot issue, cremation versus, you know, a normal funeral. What I've told my wife is this, is like, whatever helps you to grieve appropriately, and that's what you do. If cremation is fine with you, then do cremation. But if for some reason that helps you or hinders you in the grieving process, then don't do it. And so,
that's
the funeral is for the people who are living, not, I mean, I'm absent from the body. I'm present with the Lord, right? So, it's whatever helps you in that process at that time. And sometimes we think about, well, I want to be cremated. Well, it's not what I want. It's what the family I'm leaving behind needs. And so I just wanted to just interject that in there, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all, because you bring up a valid point that it really is the closure is really for the family. You know, I remember, and this was about 20 years ago plus now, when my dad transitioned, we had talked about what his wishes were, and he desired to be buried in Louisiana where he was from, but I ended up doing a service here because he had lived in California so long and had such a network and did a service there in California. And I'm going somewhere with this and making a point of what you were talking about in this moment, about it's for the family. And I did all of that for the family. And my family indicated, okay, you got all of this handled. We're going to take care of getting a headstone for him here. That's going to be our contribution, right? But I don't live in Louisiana. And so I trust that they're taking care of that. And no bad reflection on my family. I don't know all of the dynamics, you know, financially, what was going on in the moment, and it was taken care of eventually. But I remember going back. And, of course, for me, I just want to go and see, you know, this headstone and all of this and to find there is none. Of course, I shoot through the roof. I am just failing to see the humor because You promised this. This is, you know, part of the closure. How can he not have a head?
Right.
You know, you said it's for those of us that are still here. And that was important to me. If we're going to bury him, give him a headstone. And again, it eventually
right.
was taken care of. You know what I mean? But it was, again, a money issue. And so
yep.
when you're dealing with things of this nature at such a sensitive time, it is so important to have the life. I love the acronym that Tony gave us. Have the life in order, honey, to be secure. L, loan. I, income replacement. F, financial expenses. And E, extras. Great acronym. So, Tony, now build the case around, now that we understand why life insurance is so important, how much life insurance we should have and how we should factor that in with the acronym that you gave of LIFE, what kind of insurance should one consider and think about getting so that they can feel that I am secure for my family?
And, you know, Coach Adams, I love this because the way you've laid out these questions really are setting up the priority when we're thinking about the life insurance purchase process. Number one, we understand that people buy life insurance because they love someone, right? And we want to leave our loved ones. We don't want to leave them in a financial crisis. So the first thing that we have to understand is that's important. Number two is how much life insurance we should have, and that's where the LIFE acronym comes. Now the third piece that's important is that it fits into your budget. And so before we kind of talk about, and I have this conversation with people all the time, before we talk about what type of life insurance, let's talk about what is the budget. Because we want to make sure that whatever we're purchasing is something that we can afford and that it fits into our budget. Because statistics show that the average person buys life insurance 6 times in their lifetime, but they let them go. They buy a policy, I let it go, it lapses, I buy another policy, that might happen. So on average, it's about 6 times. So it's important that we're not always starting over. But so my question then becomes, again, how much you can afford. Because that will dictate to us, excuse me, whether we should be looking at a term policy that has a cheaper premium but it's for a temporary time, or if we should be looking at permanent insurance that is designed to last our entire lifetime, or maybe it's a combination of the two. But first, let's make sure we get the proper coverage, and then let's make sure it fits into our budget. And then we can start talking about term versus whole life and all those type of things. And really, Coach Adams, honestly, there's some people that their beliefs are so entrenched that you should always buy term insurance. And then on the other side of the aisle is the other argument that says you should never buy term insurance because it's a waste of money. And so people have very strong beliefs in those, and sometimes it's almost like getting them to change their religion to see it the other way. I, for one, believe that there's not one size that fits all. So I can't say to people that whole life is better. I can't say that term is better. It really depends on why you're buying it, what's the purpose, and what fits into your budget. What do you want this policy to do for you, and when do you want it to do it? So that, to me, is the most important question when determining between the different types of insurance.
So give us a little life insurance education. Give us just a few nuggets
yeah.
on so we can have a – maybe some individuals are not clear on – you named the two. But help
yeah.
us to understand yeah. the difference between – the different nuances between the two so that one can really process around, which may be better. And I know that you will do some consulting as well, and we'll give them that opportunity to know how they can connect with you. But for the sake of our dialogue, help us to get a little better understanding between the two.
Yeah. So term insurance is really it's from a premium standpoint, it's the least expensive to start. Term insurance is really I equate it to renting. It's like renting an apartment. As long as you pay the rent, you have coverage. But if you ever leave that apartment, there's no equity there. There's no cash value there. So it's basically you buy and you die, they pay. There's really, it's quite that simple. And usually they're bought in blocks of 10, 20, 30-year term policies, which means that your price is going to stay level for that period of time. At the end of that period of time, whether it's 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years, there's one or two things that are going to happen. And one is that price is going to skyrocket and go extremely high, usually to a point where most people won't keep it, or it's going to actually just cancel because it's aged out. So that's term insurance. It does have very practical use, whether maybe it's to cover a mortgage or maybe it's a temporary need, those type of things. Now, the misconception, Coach Adams, is we say whole life. Well, whole life, more appropriately, would probably be to say permanent insurance. Because when we say permanent insurance, there's two types of permanent insurance, and that is what we think of as traditional whole life. And then the other is called universal life. Whole life is very structured. You have a premium. That premium is going to stay the same for your whole life. Your face amount or the amount the policy pays is going to stay the same. There's not a lot of flexibility in it in terms of, you know, moving the payments up or down depending on, you know, how life happens. And so it's a very structured contract. Whereas the other type of permanent insurance, which is universal life, is more, there's more flexibility built into it in terms of if you want to increase your death benefit, the amount that pays if you die, if you need to adjust your premium payments along the way, you can do that. You can use it for a lot of other things, supplement your retirement, and, you know, there's a lot of other uses for it other than just the death benefit. And so that's really the main difference between, you know, what we say, the term insurance, permanent insurance. And we have wonderful studies out there that show how, you know, people have used permanent insurance. Ray Kroc used it to buy out the McDonald's brothers. You know, that's the owner of McDonald's, Ray Kroc. He used it to buy out the McDonald's brothers and start a campaign called Ronald McDonald. And, you know, Stanford University used permanent life insurance to keep the university afloat during the Great Depression. And so there's a lot of examples like that out there where permanent insurance was a great benefit. But, you know, like I said, depends on your budget. Term insurance may be the best. And actually, the very last story in my book that I'm writing is really how a gentleman – couldn't afford the permanent insurance, so he bought term insurance. And then over the years, he converted that term insurance into permanent insurance, you know, just over the years as he could afford it. And you know this gentleman, matter of fact, the client that I'm speaking of, because he's speaking to you right now.
Ah,
it's
I
me.
Love it. I love
so,
it. I love
you know,
it.
Yeah, we had a young family. We had four kids. My wife stayed at home, started a new business in the midst of that. She was pregnant. She was, you know, one was in diapers and she was expecting the next. And we had this young family and just our finances at the time, we couldn't afford the permanent types of insurance that I have now. And so I started with term. And I just converted it over the years into permanent, as much as I wanted and as my finance and budget could afford. And so that's my story and sticking to it.
I love it. And you approve this message, right?
And I approve this message.
Right. So, Tony, how do you feel about taking questions? I think this would be a great point to open our lines up and to allow our global listening audience to, if they have a question or a comment around this richness that you are sharing. So I want to go to the lines. And, again, this is the time in our program when we invite you, our global listening audience, to share in the discussion, get your questions answered, make a comment. I would love to know. We would love to know. Has this information been beneficial for you? What are you taking away? If you would like to chime in, we encourage you to do so. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. Press 1 on your telephone keypad to add yourself to the host queue. You cannot just press 1 on your electronic device. If you're sitting in front of your computer, you have to dial in. So know that you have to dial in, and the dial-in number is 516-453-9374, 516-453-9374. Again, press 1 to add yourself to the host queue. Press 1 to add yourself to the host queue. Tony, while we're giving the opportunity for those that may want to chime in or not, share with us, how would our global listening audience be able to consult with you offline? What opportunities do they have to make a connection with you privately that may say, this is a touchy subject, I don't want to share any of this openly on the airwaves, but would love the opportunity to have a conversation with him offline?
Well, you know, my preferred method is simply to go to my calendar and schedule a free appointment. It's not going to cost you anything. And that website is actually www.tonyjacksonappointment.com. TonyJacksonAppointment.com puts you right on my calendar, and we can have a great conversation. It all begins with a conversation. Other methods of contact is you know, it could be email, which is Tony@TheRealMoneyCoach.com, TheRealMoneyCoach.com. And then also for your listening audience, you can hit me on my cell phone, which is 517-395-7885. So either of those methods would work. And like you said, Coach Adams, it just begins with a conversation. I talk to people all the time, and really I give them a affirmation, a confirmation, if you will, that what they have is the appropriate thing and to continue what they're doing. Other times we discover that maybe there's some little tweaking that needs to be done. And so
I love it.
And in that matter, I'm licensed in over 22 states, and so, you know, I can legally have those conversations with folks all over the country.
I love that you brought that point out, and as it so turns out, speaking of conversation, we do have a caller in the queue, and we do have a global listening audience, so I love that you pointed that out, that you can have conversations with people regardless of where you are, or at least in certain areas. So I'm bringing in caller 972, last 4 digits, 3507. You are live on Motivational Mondays with Coach Adams and the Real Money Coach, Tony Jackson. What's your question or comment today?
Well, thank you for the topic this evening. It's very inspirational. I have 2 questions, and the first question is it beneficial to buy accidental insurance?
So let me, I'll answer that. I'm not a huge fan of accidental only insurance. And I'll tell you why. A lot of that has to do with my own personal experience. When I spoke about my mother earlier in the show and she had 6 policies, some of those were accidental death policies. And she died of natural causes, so they didn't pay. And, you know, I think when we're getting our insurance, we want as broad of coverage as we can get. We don't want to, because most accidental, of course, it has to be an accident, and then death normally has to occur within, you know, 90 days, or it has to occur within a certain amount of time from that accident in order for it to pay. And I, just over my 24 years, I've seen so many times where people thought they had regular full coverage life insurance and it actually was accidental. So, you know, you just have to go in it with your eyes open and understanding that if this is a, if I die of natural causes, this accidental is not going to pay. And it's usually very, very cheap. Because it's just limited in the terms of when it would, you know, instances when it would pay.
Wow, that was really good, Tony. And caller, thank you so much for that thought-provoking question. I know you said you had two, and I thank you for chiming in today. What's your second question?
My second question is this. I had an experience with my father who did not raise me. Became very ill and very sick to the point that he had sisters and brothers there that were supposed to be managing every aspect of his life, but became bedridden and was very ill. And when I arrive on the scene, I'm asking the question, insurance policies, other things that, you know, need to care for him. He tells me about an insurance policy. I call the insurance company and discover that the insurance had lapsed. So my question is there any recourse for a senior citizen that became very ill and the other family members that were supposedly caring for him allowed the policy to lapse? So is there a recourse to help families that have that situation?
You know, unfortunately, there's not really any recourses out there that could help in those situations. And, you know, as, even though life insurance is a very highly regulated industry, it's pretty hard once a policy lapses. Go back and have one reinstated, you know, if it's, especially if it's due to premium and that type of thing not being paid. And it, and it's interesting you ask this question because I run into it all the time, especially most companies now require that premiums be automatically deducted out of your checking or savings account. And a lot of times people kind of, you know, they kind of balk, they kind of push back on that, but this is one of the reasons why I think it's important, so that if anything happens, someone ends up sick, someone ends up in the hospital, no one can, if you see that that money is coming out of the banking account or every month, you can ensure that that continues to happen. I've seen where people had policies and no one even knew they had them. And they were sending in money orders each month, and now something happens and no one makes that premium payment, and you end up in these type of situations. And so my heart really feels for you in that case, because I've seen it happen many times, but unfortunately there's really no recourse for you in it.
And so thank you for that answer. So it's one other quick question, because this is happening a lot that I have found. People are starting to invest in their insurance policies and, you know, making the arrangements for the end of life. I had a situation as a pastor with some family that when they went for the policy, it had not termed long enough, and the individual passed away. They had only been into the insurance for 13 months, and so the insurance company would not pay for burial. What is the term or the time that, you know, you have to get to before your insurance policy is available to pay in full?
Okay. That's an excellent, excellent question. I'm glad you asked that. You know, I told the story earlier of the family that I worked with when they had a policy in force for 6 weeks, made one payment, and repaid the full claim. There are some policies out there, and they have their place, but sometimes people have them, they don't. And many of them are called guaranteed policies. And if you've seen commercials on TV where it says everyone will be accepted, no one will be turned down, those types of things, or we get them in the mail, and, you know, everyone, it's guaranteed approval and those type of things, when you see those wording, that tells you that that policy is not going to pay anything for the first 2 or 3 years. And the reason why they guarantee the issue is because they know that for the first 2 or 3 years of that policy, they have no legal obligation to pay a death benefit. So therefore, they accept everyone and just take the chance that, you know, the people who are very, very sick won't make it that 2 or 3 years, to be quite honest.
Oh my God.
And so that's what happens, and I see that a lot too. Because can I be honest? In our minority brown communities, we get preyed upon on those type of policies a lot. And then something happens, and that was the other situation with my mom. My mom had some policies that were guaranteed issue, and because she died before that time period had gone by, they didn't pay.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, let me just explain this real quick. Every single life insurance policy you buy, regardless of what state it's in, has what is called a contestability period. That contestability period in every state is 2 years. What that means is that if you buy a policy today, and if you die before 2 years, the life insurance company has the right to contest paying the death benefit.
Mm-hmm.
The family that I mentioned to you where we paid the policy after it had been in for 6 weeks, it was still in the contestability period. So the life insurance company then asked for all the medical records going back 10 years for the individual to make sure that every answer on that application was true and in fact.
Wow.
And so if I ask, you never had a heart attack, and they said no, they're going to go back and they're going to look at records for 10 years back and make sure that that answer was true. And in this particular case, because every answer was answered truthfully, we paid the full claim. But had there been one question in which a truthful answer wasn't given, that company could have used that to deny paying the claim. Now, once you've had a policy for 2 years, that they no longer can contest it based on the application. And so, but that's another great question. And honestly, I paid a claim. The shortest one I've ever had was 16 days, and the gentleman died after 16 days, and he died of cancer. And obviously, when I took that application, he had cancer. But the fact is, he didn't know it. He had never been diagnosed. No doctor had told him it was cancer. So when he got the medical records, there was no diagnosis of cancer. There was no evidence that he ever had been told he had cancer or anything. So we paid that claim too. But there's a lot of times when a claim is not paid because there's something that wasn't answered correctly on the application.
Right. Thank you, Tony, for such great answers. I'm going to hang up, but I'm going to leave this with you to please inform the public and the listeners about a family member that buys a policy but commits suicide. And I just want you to touch on that a little bit. I've had that experience with, you know, family members going through that as well.
Yeah, as we were talking about it, that also came to my mind. And again, you know, in 24 years, I've seen a lot. And I had a gentleman who actually was a firefighter and ended up committing suicide. He was 18 months into a policy. A lot of people have the misconception that if you commit suicide, your life insurance won't pay. It will pay. Most of the policies will pay for suicide, but it has to be beyond that two-year mark. If suicide occurs during the contestability period, the policy will not pay. But if suicide is outside of that 2 years, then most policies, at least everyone that I've seen, will pay after the 2 years. But sometimes people think, if I have a loved one who commits suicide and they've had a policy for a number of years, they don't even submit the claim because a lot of people think if you commit suicide, it won't pay at all. But it will if it's beyond that two-year period of time.
Wow, Tony, this has been such a rich episode, and it's amazing how quickly an hour of empowerment flies by. It's after the hour, and we do have to bring the show to a close. I thank you so much for all of the rich information. I thank our caller for the various questions. I had someone text a question that we can't get answered, but I do want to say that I will pull on Tony to answer this question in our Motivational Mondays forum, in our Motivational Mondays forum. On Facebook, it's an open group. All are welcome. So if you're not a part of that, then definitely just ask to be able to join, and you're welcome. Again, thank you so much, Tony, for the rich insight and information you've shared around today's topic and our guests interacting, our in-studio, our audience member interacting with us. This is Coach Adams. We have to bring things to a close. I thank you for tuning in. Next week, we're going to pick things up in our Shape Up series, and so we encourage you to set your timer and plan to be right here with us for Motivational Mondays every Monday, presented by Inspired Media for you. This is Coach Adams closing things out. I coach, and you win.